The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Open line today. In fact, open line all this week. This time next week, it'll be Department of Education, Sport and Culture. The Minister and political members will be on. But for this week, all this week, open line. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Well, it could be the TG. Anything, whatever's on your mind, do get in touch. And before we go any further, I must say hello and good day to the captain and the crew and all the passengers of the Star Pride, the Windstar Cruisers ship that's alongside Douglas Harbour at the moment. She's here with 312 passengers and 190 crew members. She's actually going to be here, I think, on Friday as well. She loved the place so much, she's back. Anyway, hello to everybody aboard Star Pride and welcome to the Isle of Man. So, any thoughts on TT? Where we got with TT? And, well, can't help the weather, says Texter 323, but senior race day needs to go back to Friday, so they still have Saturday if needed, as there are never enough marshals or medics to do it on a Sunday. Obviously, Sunday, I mean, the weather was shocking. It really, there was a conspiracy of circumstances, really, with obviously the sidecars going. The weather just finishing that. And it's strange, because, of course, it was a wonderful practice week. I'm disappointed at how little Manx care has actually been given after decades of mismanagement by the government. People would be naive to think that our hospital could be fixed overnight. Treasury has withheld proper funding. And Theresa Cope was left to do the best job with bad tools. I'll be sad to see her go, says Frank. Well, this is a story about Manx care. Manx Care 2.0 is around the corner, so says Claire Christian, MHK, the Health Minister, following a recent governance review into the island's healthcare provider and its relationship with her department. Claire Christian believes there are areas where changes can be made, such as in finance and communication. I just wonder what your thoughts are. I mean, the whole point about Manx Care was it was supposed to basically get the money from the department and do the day-to-day stuff. What are your thoughts on this? Manx Care, I mean, it's a vex. And also, we'll come to the question of the doctors perhaps going on strike and how much pay rise they've had over the past few years and what position we're actually in. The government is due zilch to look after visitors in serious rain conditions. Why didn't they just open up the underused Villa Marina and get creative with some decent bike entertainment? Maybe that's asking too much. This must have been the worst TT ever. We had general public injured, we had deaths, we had no sidecar racing, hardly any motorcycle racing. The whole organisation needs a revamp and officials need changing. Well, that's 019. Yes, we know what you're against, 019. What are you for? What is it you, precisely, what is it that you want? The weather we could do absolutely nothing about. Absolutely nothing. It was just one of those things. Everything else? Regarding Manx Care, says Roy, I think the whole thing has become a vessel to bring in foreign workers to the Isle of Man. Unbelievably good money. They then vote to go on strike every 5 minutes for yet more money. The whole thing has to change. We need to train our own workers rather than rely on foreign workers. It's not going to end well, says Roy B. Well, we've always needed foreign workers, Roy. If by foreign you mean people not from the Isle of Man, the common travel area, England, Scotland, Ireland and Wales. We've always needed, I mean, let's face it, gone completely under the radar, the whole care industry would be lost without, let's say, the Filipino and Thai workers who are involved in it. And the Filipinos have very quietly done sterling work in the care industry for 20, 25 years. The Eastern Europeans that came in 10, 15 years ago have done an awful lot of good work in various industries. So we've always needed foreign workers, so kind of demonising foreign workers. If Manx workers don't want to do those jobs, you can't kind of corral them. You can't frog march Manx workers to do jobs that they simply don't want to do or aren't qualified to do. So without getting a bit more specific, I don't quite know what you think we need to do. So Manx Care 2.0, let's hear from the Health and Social Care Minister, Claire Christian, MHK, about where the changes in the future will be made.
The conclusion that I'm certainly drawing to is that Manx Care 2.0 is around the corner, and that's what we have to focus on. You know, with all best intention, you can set things up. You know, even just when I look at the Manx Care Act, there are certain things in the Manx Care Act that I would, just even technical things that need to be improved on. So it's not necessarily saying that they haven't done well, but we can improve, and every, you know, we all must agree on the absolutely improvements can and should, we should constantly be reviewing this and making the improvements. But you just hit something really important there, Phil, where you talked about money and budgets, and that is fundamentally, that brings us back around to accountability again, doesn't it? Because the way that it is set up is that the financial accountability lies with the department, and yet we aren't responsible. The governance review is it's looking at these sort of areas, and I take finance as a really important
and this
one. Governance review was established, I think, just as I came in, just the Chief Minister had set it up. But yes, it basically is trying to draw the lines together. The MIA governance review assessed that basically there were areas within this organisation, within this structure, that weren't working as well as they could. So I'll take finance as the perfect example. So you have a finance director within Manx Care, don't have a finance director in DHSC. Your finance business partner, who working for the DHSC but reports to Treasury, and then on top of that you have the financial accounting services, so your accountants. So this structure is in three places, Phil, and that doesn't, you know, work. It really doesn't work. So we're taking that initially because we can't get into the detail as the department, but yet we're the responsible ones. And we've got the pressure from Treasury saying, you know, and the public, quite rightly, you need to come in on budget. So we're looking at now drawing those areas together.
Well, remember, there's an election fairly shortly, so you wonder how much is going to get done before that. On the 13th of August, the House of Keys will be dissolved. And the 26th of August, Wednesday 26th, candidate nominations end. Then the general election on Thursday, the 24th of September. But as always, guess who's caught in the middle? The patient. The user. Caught in the middle. So on one side, you have Manx Care. On the other side, you have the government. And the patient is in the middle. The people who've paid national insurance and tax are in the middle. And bearing in mind, it's 5 years now. It's 5 years since Manx Care was created. And we're still, now we're going to go Manx Care 2.0. And then there's the question of the doctors and industrial action. Pay and working culture are still an issue for doctors on the Isle of Man. Strike action could be imminent. Imminent. That means soon. The BMA is the union. It says British Medical Association. It's the union. So the union will begin balloting its members on Friday, this Friday the 12th, after Nobles Hospital was placed under the highest level of operational pressure last month. It's also amid changes to the management of Manx Care. Of course, Theresa Cope has gone. The chair's gone as well, and a review of whether the healthcare provider is working as intended. So is now the right time for industrial action? Well, the chair of the Isle of Man Medical Society is Dr. Prakash Tai Rajan.
We, as you know, came very close to taking industrial action last year, and in the last minute we settled with a reasonable offer from Manx Care. But subsequently we've had real difficulty in taking that next step, and it's also difficult going back with almost like a begging bowl every year to Manx Care. And we tried our level best. We've been negotiating and we're not really getting any further. And it looks like we are left with no other option but to ballot members whether they're willing to take industrial action or not.
So last year, doctors accepted this 8% pay rise. You're now calling for another 7.9% pay rise. But of course, Manx Care is over budget every year. It's in the middle of a period of quite a lot of change. So is this the time to be asking for such a pay rise, or is now the time for actually a bit of consistency while this tricky period is navigated?
Yeah, I think everybody should realise, or I think they already do, that the stable workforce are the doctors and nurses. And it is really important to keep the doctors and nurses well paid, content, let's put it that way. And I agree there's been a lot of unsettledness, but this is one thing that can be settled fairly easily. And I'm not sure why Manx Care haven't taken the opportunity to settle it. If you look at private sector, for example, almost every other professional group are faring better. I agree, everybody's fallen behind RPI, but not to the extent doctors have. And that has been a fundamental problem. That, in light of seeing year after year Manx Care getting an above inflation uplift to their budget, plus they overspend, and we can't help but wonder where all this money is going.
Well, what do you think about this? I just wonder what your thoughts are with the thought that the doctors may be going on strike, or certainly some industrial action. And again, there may be arguments and discussions about, you know, the amount of money or the percentages and this, that and the other. Now, the doctors, the BMA, the union say that they wanted 7.9% uplift in pay for the 25-26 year. Since 2008, the union say RPI on the islands increased by 112%, while pay has increased by just 51% over the same period. They say that means real pay is down 29%. Last year, the doctors called off industrial action, which would have been the first doctor strike ever in the Isle of Man's history, after they voted to accept a new pay deal, but were clear that future action would be likely if future pay deals didn't bring them closer to pay restoration. So it would seem the crunch is coming. Here's David with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Coming across the promenade this morning after shopping, I noticed there was no horse cars on the prom. And I'm just wondering why. Is the horse cars on Monday? Is it their rest day? Or when there's 350 people on a boat sitting in the bay or sitting in the harbour?
And what time were you coming down the prom?
About 9:30.
Right.
And then back again about 11:30. Didn't see one horse going up and down. And there was people, there's still visitors on the island. That's what annoys me more is there's still people visiting the Isle of Man. There's still quite a lot of bikers. A lot of them probably can't get home, which brings me to another point regarding the Ben Nick Rhee and the steam packet.
Yeah.
I know it's doing freight, but do you remember the old freight vessel we used to have?
Oh, the Arrow.
The Arrow. Where is that, and are we getting money for it? This is what we want to know. That's what we want to know about the steam packet itself. I know you can't ask questions about them, which is to me is ridiculous, isn't it, at the end of the day. It's a publicly funded department, just like the health service and whatever. But what are we getting? Are we getting value for money from either one? And can I throw in there, I might as well do it all at once, mightn't I, Retina Bay? And the minister talks about communication. Now, I know for a fact that commissioners in Auckland, which I'm one, has wrote to her about the Retina Bay Trust, not the Retina Bay Trust, sorry, the Ballycairn Trust.
Right.
And we haven't had an answer. And there's at least 12, 15 units there lying empty and have been lying there for 8 months. So is that good communication?
Well, you wouldn't have thought so.
But something she can do. So Retina Bay I don't know who is responsible for maintaining retina pay now, because it's the neck curtains need to be taken down and the windows need to be whitened in, because it looks like a ghost town. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure one of the charities there could take that on and fund people when people can't get accommodation or they're falling out with their partners or whatever. And there must be people surfing all the time with these kids now when they come towards 16, 17, and their life says you've got to get a job.
Yeah.
And they don't. But I don't know what's happening there. I don't know.
Well, as you say, I went by the other day, and as you say, the neck curtains, it looks a real mess from the outside. It doesn't look at all, particularly when you have people going to the Manx Museum close by. It just looks it's like an empty... well, it looks like what it is, an empty, unused building.
Building, yeah. And the other thing is, don't forget, we've got all these properties too. Under the control of our government, you know, we as the taxpayers are funding all this. Two pubs, the QB and the one down there, the Bowling Green,
yeah.
Still empty. And the Summerland site, the bus station site, Park Road School, the prison, the old prison site. And opposite the prison site, there's a unit there which has been empty, a big building, a huge big building there to it. What are we doing? You know, is there nobody in charge of properties, or is that the DOI? I'm not having a real dig at the DOI. And the final thing for me, and I'll go then, is at the Summerhill, when I came down, it's been a year, believe it or not, it's been a year since they boarded up and put scaffolding on the building at the bottom of Summerhill.
Hmm.
Where the horse stable is right next door.
It's not what you call progress, is it?
Well, we're not getting anywhere. No estimates, no things. I don't know what they're doing. I can't wait till September. Okay. Just watch this space.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for calling today. Right, let's get to Ravina's on now. Hi, Ravina.
Oh, hi there.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm trying to actually bring something a bit more positive than hearing about Manx Care 2 and the doctors going on strike.
Yeah.
So, you know, that seems to be the highlight. But I think what I want to do is highlight a very important week for the largest volunteer army this island has that is completely hidden. And they shouldn't be. And that is informal carers. It's Carers Week across the UK and the Isle of Man. And Crossroad Care have got some events happening. These people are hidden. They live amongst us. They are amazing people who do 24-hour call, usually for very little. Well, usually for nothing. In fact, actually, it costs them because I remember reading some research where carers actually end up in poverty because many of them have to give up their jobs, which means their pensions are affected, not to mention the career prospects. So, you know, to try and be positive, I think the news this week should be concentrating on how brilliant our informal carers are and how we can all support them by whatever way we can. The government doesn't support them. There is a carer's allowance, but the last time I looked, it's very few that are eligible to qualify for it.
The thing is, Ravina, that obviously it's like a Cinderella service. These people do it for the love of it and the love of the people they're caring
for.
Most
don't do it for the love of it. A lot of them, you know, one car accident and you can be a carer.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not just for the love of the job.
No, I'm talking about the love of the person that they're caring for.
Yeah, but I think that also is one of the problems, is the fact that just because you actually love somebody, should you be working 24 hours, your own health being affected by the stress, by the worry, by the concern, lack of formal services?
So what would you want the government to do, Ravina?
I want the government to give out all the carers a proper carers allowance. That's what I want. Because I'll tell you what, if we're talking about strikes, let the informal carers down tools. you know what?
Well, the place would grind to a halt, Ravina.
Exactly. So if we really want to talk about people who are important striking, let's get the informal carers to not do it, because they don't have to do it. It's not a job. They do it because of a variety of reasons. So I think my arguments probably would be, let's raise the profile of who the carers are, because while they remain hidden, we can't offer them support. So you'll get formal services saying, oh, there's not many. Well, I think about 15 years ago, David Gordon did some research. There were 10,000 then on the island, which is a huge amount of informal carers. So if anybody's listening and you're an informal carer, please let your GP know, because the better the stats we get, the better support that will be offered for not only you but for future carers. And let's just celebrate really what an amazing job they do for this island.
So why would you tell the GP? What's that about?
Well, it's about data, isn't it? Everything's about data. So for me, in my job, I've actually notified my employer that I'm a carer. We have carers' passports in our organisation. There are lots of support mechanisms because caring's unpredictable. That's the problem with it. Nobody knows from one day to the next whether it's going to be a good day or a bad day. So I think getting recognised is the first thing. A lot of people say, oh, I don't want the label, but this is a positive label. It's not stigmatising. It's really good, and services need to know you're there. So GPs have got data where they can actually put on the record that you're an informal carer. That will help you, but it will also help other people in the future, and services to provide and plan future services.
Okay, well, we appreciate that, Ravina. Thanks for getting us in touch. And did you say which of the charities are involved in this?
Crossroads Care are doing drop-ins all this week.
Right.
I think you'd have to go onto the website to find where. But I spoke to one of the people today, and they were in the Crossroads charity shop upstairs in the cafe.
Right.
But I didn't get the details of the times. You'd have to talk to Crossroads Care. But there's a lot happening. And one of the things about being an informal carer is you can be quite isolated and lonely. So it would be just nice, really, to reach out to people who are feeling like that, to say you're not alone.
And
we're all supporting you as a community.
You see,
government.
Ravina, I mean, not only can it be lonely, and I have to say, say something personal there. I know a couple of people who are carers. Ravina, it's knackering. It wears people out.
Exactly. That's why I say, you don't apply for it, you don't apply for the job, you don't go through recruitment. It can happen overnight. One of us can become an informal carer this week. So we need to raise the profile that this volunteer hidden army are really, really valuable to the social fabric of the island and to our formal services, which seems to be all falling to bits. But the informal carers are still carrying on doing it regardless. And I think it's time we give them a pass on the back, really.
Ravina, I'm really happy you called today. And if anybody wants more information, nip into any of the Crossroads shops. I'm sure they'll be able to guide you.
And maybe
the
Manx
right
Radio
way
could do something on it too. That'd be great.
I'm sure they've heard you. All right, Ravina, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. Let's get to Gordon's with us now. Hello, Gordon.
Hello, Andy. Hi.
Hello, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to comment on the Friday's racing. I think the scheduling was a complete farce. They closed the roads at 11 o'clock in the morning, but they didn't hold the senior race, which is the most important race of the week, until 6:30 at night, by which time, if anything went wrong, which it did, there was no way they were going to get the race rerun. And also the ridiculous amount of time between races. The first one was at 12:15. It was only a 3-lap race, so that's an hour's racing. The next race wasn't scheduled till, I think it was either 4:15 or 4:30. So that's 4+ hours later. And all the marshals are sat round the course twiddling their thumbs and just nothing happening.
So what would your message be to the organisers?
Well, I'm sure the sponsors of the senior must be absolutely up in arms because they didn't have one last year, and it was red flagged and stopped this year. It needs to be put in a more important slot. I mean, it should have been the first race of the day on Friday because it's the most important race of the week. I mean, I'd seen the weather forecast for Saturday and Sunday, and I said to myself, there's going to be no way they'll race Saturday or Sunday. So Friday was the last chance saloon, really.
And overall, I mean, obviously, it was a bit of a washout. Apart from practice week was fantastic,
yeah.
But it was a bit of a washout. So, and obviously, the sidecars went as well. So,
yeah.
How do you feel about what do you think should be the priority then for next year, Gordon?
Well, I'm sure by then they'll have redesigned the sidecars and hopefully we'll get them back again. But there are too many days racing. I mean, I've lived here for 50 years, and it was always 4 days racing, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, and senior race day on the Friday. Now it's Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. You know, it just goes on and on and on.
Okay, all right. Gordon, we appreciate it, and I'm glad you put those thoughts to us today. Thanks for calling today. And Sue sent a text in just to say, once again, racing was delayed by RTCs. You can't call them accidents anymore, apparently. They're RTCs on the mountain before roads close. Why on earth can't the mountain road be closed 2 or 3 hours sooner? Maybe the road should be closed at 6 a.m., and there should be official riders waiting at the grandstand at 7 a.m. to escort the general public around the course at a reasonable pace. People could then join or leave the official pack anywhere on the course, but once they've left, they can't go back on the course. Nobody would be allowed to overtake the official pack either. It's ridiculous that the public is allowed loose on the course before racing is due, as the weather's already holding things up. That's Sue on the text. And another text, 404, says the doctor's salaries have gone up and up and the service they provide has gone down and down. That's his 404's opinion here. It's easier to get an audience with the Pope than to get a doctor's appointment these days, says 404. And Gaz says, it's argued that we don't pay enough for health services, yet the Isle of Man spending per capita is much higher than England and Wales. So spending needs to be more effective. A climate emergency was declared 7 years ago. While weather can't be controlled, perhaps the scheduling of the TT fortnight at the end of spring, beginning of summer, needs a rethink. The thoughts of Gaz. And just a quick word about this coming Wednesday. This coming Wednesday is the public consultation day at Andrus Parish Hall, and it's on between 10 and 7. We talked last week about this renewable energy scheme at Andrus Airfield. They're looking to develop Andrus Airfield. It's a privately funded development. There's no public money. Solar panels and an anaerobic digester generating energy from specially grown crops. It's Robert Murray and IPV FlexGem who are involved in this. And you heard Phil Gorn. Actually, there's a programme tonight. Phil Gorn will be talking about this on Agenda tonight. But the public consultation is on Andrus Parish Hall, 10 till 7 this Wednesday. All concerned would love to see you. Those behind the project claim it'll generate 27 megawatts at peak production and create 10 jobs. Residual heat from the project could also be used to heat up to 300 homes. It's a lot of pipes, isn't it? They hope construction will begin next spring 2027, with a view to having the anaerobic digester online for 2028. So that's this Wednesday, Andrus Parish Hall, between 10 and 7, this public consultation.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
So, Duan, you finally took my advice and went for Spectrum Windows for your home improvements.
Well, with their quality and price, I couldn't refuse. Along with great service from planning to completion, you get all the latest innovations in roofing and glazing.
Oh, Duan, Don't tell the missus that yours are better than ours.
Oh, don't worry, Geoffrey. Yours still look as good as new. They're still A-rated and they're guaranteed for 10 years.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
Heating oil for homes, powering farms and businesses, keeping you moving with petrol stations across the island. Ellen Vannin Fuels. Call us on 84 4000. For a trustworthy removal and storage solution, contact Dave's Removals and Storage, offering man and van removals, clearances and long or short-term storage with pickup and drop-off service. Call 258-766 or find Dave's Removals and Storage on Facebook.
From morning till late, a new force in food, drink and horsepower has arrived in Douglas. Motor Isle Bar and Grill. Fuel up with awesome coffee, big American breakfasts and grill food done right. The day rolls on with cold beers or cocktails as huge screens light up with the thrill of sport. Easy mornings to big nights. Motor Isle Bar and Grill, the home of high velocity hospitality. On Wellington Street, Douglas.
Do you ever feel that the news sounds, well, a little familiar? Chances are, it's because you've heard it all before. Using windmills to produce power? We were trialling those in the early 1960s. Old news. Reform of the Legislative Council. They were talking about that in the 1950s and earlier. Old news. Problems at Peel Commissioners? The Examiner suggested there was another farce there in 1945. Old news. Listen to these stories and more in the Old News Podcast with me, H, available via your usual podcast provider or direct from the Manx Radio website. And you can also hear each new podcast broadcast live every Sunday morning just after 8:30. There's nothing new under the sun, it seems. It's all old news.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Yes, well, look at this weather. How unfortunate, eh?
Well, just one of those things, isn't it? We're in the lap of the gods.
Yeah. Yeah, the other day when there was this kerfuffle about telecabs going into some sort of administration, then it turns out that the owner hadn't paid the licence for the taxi firm.
Yeah.
Have I got that right? I'm just finding it interesting. So they're not paying a bill, basically, and they had to get it done quick.
I think telecabs are back in business now. I think they are, aren't they?
It seems so, yeah. I just find it interesting, though, something similar. UK air charter operator Zenith Aviation, who were based in Biggin Hill, and for quite a while I noticed on flight radar there were quite a few private jets coming in from Biggin Hill into here. Zenith Aviation was acquired by Opal Jets, who also got the jet centre, just over a year ago in March 2025. And just 3 weeks ago, on May the 15th, Zenith Aviation went into administration. Now, the administrators dealing with the insolvency of Zenith Aviation are led by Paul Hargreaves of Nexus Corporate Solutions. And he stated that Zenith was in an insolvent position due to cash flow issues and debtors not being paid. What I also find interesting is, even though publicly Opal Jets is calling themselves Opal, in December 19th, just gone, in 2025, they renamed themselves to Thela Jets, T-H-E-L-A. So Opal Jets have become Thela Jets for some reason or other. I don't know why.
Well, apparently Thela Jets had no control of the operation in December, apparently.
Hmm. So it's all very strange that you get Opal Jets getting control of Zenith Aviation, and within a year they're in administration, despite revenues of over 40 million. So I don't know. I suppose we have to see the balance sheet to see how that looks.
Well, but, I mean, 40 million when you're dealing with private jets and corporate charter and so 40 million is not a fat lot, to be quite honest.
Mm, it does make you wonder what's going on, because, you know... Bill Gates doesn't seem to be doing too badly with all the NetJets and things as well. But, yeah, it just makes you wonder with all the other things that are going on. I mean, you know, Opal seems to have a lot of control over many things on the island. Like, they took over Tours Isle of Man coaches, didn't they? So you see them plastered with Opal written all over them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they seem to have bought up. They bought hotels, they bought tours, I'll manage to say, they bought some taxi firms, and they were, I think, were involved in the private jet centre. But, the thing is, it's business. Things happen in business, and people are there to provide services and what have you. So we'll wait, we'll watch and we'll see.
Just makes me wonder, some of the hotels that Opal have acquired on the promenade, they don't really look open for business in the traditional sense from what I've seen of them, but such is life. Anyway, thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, Julian. This is John. John in Ramsey, or John of Ramsey, or John Ramsey, says, for people who are against offshore wind farms, from an ecological point of view, this is John's opinion, by the way, fishing boats can't dredge around wind farms or within 1 nautical mile of them. So in doing so, marine life flourishes beyond belief within a wind farm. It's almost like forming a marine nature reserve. I'm over the moon. Point one, clean energy. Point two, a marine nature reserve. Says, I wonder who's going to look after that marine nature reserve. It's in our territorial waters, so would that be ours to look after? Or bearing in mind the infrastructure belongs to Ørsted, would they let anybody in and around there? While watching the senior race, this is John WhatsApp 527, while watching the senior race the other day at the grandstand, I was worried that there were gulls flying across the road near the fan zone. Obviously, somebody was feeding them, which is very dangerous with bikes going past at 190 miles an hour. The most worrying thing is nobody seemed at all concerned about this. Well, we've talked about this before. I mean, not just TT, people feeding the gulls, but people feeding gulls in general. And as we sit here on Douglas Head, often look out of the office window, and there will be somebody who turns up, opens the car door, and gets out a big bag of food, and is suddenly surrounded by gulls. Nothing. There's no sign anywhere to say that you can't feed the gulls. But obviously, it's fairly antisocial to be doing that because there are people, often children, on Douglas Head, and people simply do it. I don't know whether they want the company or whether they think the gulls are starving or what. It'd be easy as pie just to nip round the corner onto Marine Drive and lob the food over the cliffs. The gulls would find it there. But there we are. Doctors on strike and not working. How will we notice the difference, says 923. Well, I'm sure we will. The renal unit at Nobles would be lost, says Garth, without Filipino, Spanish, Irish and local staff. They do a wonderful job in difficult circumstances, along with equipment that desperately needs replacing. This is the renal unit. They also have to do the work of Ramsey Cottage Hospital, as well as everything else that happens day to day. So let's hear it for the renal unit at Nobles. If it weren't for their sense of humour, dedication to detail and caring attitude, my life will be much harder than it already is while I wait for a kidney transplant, says Garth. Well, Garth, we wish you all the best with that. But yes, coming back to this, and when people talk about foreign workers, we'd be scuppered without foreign workers. Let's face it, we would be scuppered without foreign workers. That's been the way for a long, long time. Go back to the 1960s. Without Irish chambermaids, where would we have been? It's been going on for years and years, so talking about foreign workers doesn't really lead us anywhere. I mean, I understand some people don't like foreign workers, but there's nothing you can do about that. And so what's the answer? What chance do we residents and taxpayers have to get a decent medical care on the Isle of Man? Manx care is costing us a fortune with poor services, and we're often held to ransom by doctors and nurses wanting more money. Well, we'll wait and see what happens, because there's a ballot on Friday the 12th, a ballot for industrial action for the doctors. Who knows what's going to happen? Crikey, can you imagine? A comment, by the way, on the independent governance review. Manx Care has already welcomed the review of governance arrangements and its report's acknowledgement that Manx Care is the right delivery model and recognition that notable improvements to health and social care services have been made since it was established in 2021. It also supports greater partnership working with DHSC and wider government, which will allow our health and care system to operate with quality and efficiency, achieving improvement outcomes for the population we serve. Anybody know what that means? I mean, it's two paragraphs of management speak. can you tell me? Castle Town Commissioners say the authority wants to see a professional assessment of West Hill House. West Hill House is the kind of old bit of the former Buchan School site, and West Hill House is set to be demolished as part of new housing development. And a lot of the old Buchan site is kind of... it's not that old, to be quite honest. A lot of it is fairly recent, but the bit in the middle, West Hill House, is quite old. Now, Castletown Commissioner says it supports the deferment of any final decision relating to the planning application until a more detailed review has been completed by planners the site of the Buchan. It's a big footprint. It's got lots and lots of trees on it, which I think they are going to keep. But obviously there's going to be a housing estate on there. What's going to happen to West Hill House? Well, the chair of Castle Town Commissioners, our former Chief Minister, Tony Brown.
West Hill House, which is the old Buchan School office headquarters, as it was, and some, I think there were a couple of classrooms there. I mean, it is a house that goes about 200 years or thereabouts old, and that's always been known, and the commissioners were conscious that in the proposal that was put forward, it was to be demolished and the site used for providing, you know, additional houses, modern houses. And at this stage, the commissioners took a pragmatic view, basically, that the house itself had never been identified, certainly in recent times, as anywhere of significant importance. It had never been registered, and there hadn't been any comments about it being registered over the decades when Castletown local plans were being put in, when the site was being zoned for housing. It wasn't even raised at that stage. So basically, we looked at the proposed that was put before us, and we still don't have a problem with that proposal per se. We're happy for the site to be developed as is proposed for the provision of housing, mixed housing in Castletown in the centre. So from that point of view, our stance is quite straightforward. However, we, like others, have had correspondence from interested parties who've been expressing concern about this. We had a presentation. We invited David Bellamy in to give us a presentation on the merits of it being registered, why they felt it was important, and that was very helpful. And so from our point of view, we were basically looking to see what was the real reason why people felt it should be registered.
Well, any thoughts on this? It's not... it was never a public building, obviously, because the Buchan was a private site, so you wouldn't drive by it, but you'd see it, and as Tony Brown said, an old building. Now, what will happen to that in the future? We don't know. Obviously, housing is needed in Castletown. A lot of housing is needed in Castletown. So we'll wait and watch and we'll see. Just a thought now, and a message in from somebody who had a Portuguese pal who turned up for the TT and was turned away. A friend from Portugal, who's a Portuguese EU passport holder, came to the Isle of Man to see the racing, and it was with some surprise that the immigration at the airport told him he wouldn't be allowed to enter. Unbeknownst to us, our legislation on the Isle of Man has changed since his last TT, and he needed a visa. And if he couldn't get a visa, he'd have had to gone back. Well, I couldn't believe this, and I was shocked that this should happen to a visitor from Portugal to the Isle of Man. Luckily, this person could get a visa online, got a visa online, and was allowed to stay. But is this true? Have you had anybody come from Portugal? Do they have to have a visa to come to the Isle of Man?
A new era of private healthcare on the island is just beginning with Clinique Savoir. Clinique Savoir is the island's first truly integrated private healthcare service. So from health checks to GPs, specialist consultations or connections to UK specialists, you'll experience care that's connected, considered and personal. From state-of-the-art clinics in Douglas and Ramsey. Take the next step in your guided health journey. Visit cliniquesavoir.com or call 68 2000. Thoughtful island healthcare, expertly delivered. Clinique Savoir.
Q-Plus is much more than a plumbing and heating trade counter. Come and explore the largest bathroom showroom on the island, where we're always updating our displays and stocking the latest bathroom designs and trends to make sure we have just what you're looking for. Visit Q-Plus on Snugborough Trading Estate or find us on Facebook to see some fabulous bathroom inspiration.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank. whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
Fed up sifting through applications and hitting dead ends? We get it. It's not the high-flying life a boss should have. So step away from the desk, make a coffee, and let us take the reins. Orchard Recruitment adds a refreshing change to your hiring process. Getting to know your business and culture before finding you the right people. We won't send you any old CV. We'll cherry pick. Make your next onboarding fruitful. Visit orchardrecruitment.com.
Renewable energy firm IPV FlexGen will be holding a public consultation at Andrews Parish Hall on Wednesday between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. to share updated proposals for the redevelopment of Andrews Airfield. This farmer-led project includes agricultural growing units, an anaerobic digester, ground-mounted solar PV and battery storage to provide the site with electricity and heat. Could this project develop into a sustainable energy scheme that most people could get behind? Find out on Agenda this evening at 6:30 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
10 to 1, and a message in WhatsApp says, this is John in Onchan, who just said, the BME is greedy. The money that doctors earn in comparison to other workers is good, plus, they don't pay the same tax here as they would in the UK. In fact, they pay a lot less tax. They deserve what they earn, but so do others. Have they factored in the tax burden here compared to in the UK? They never mention that. Eddie's with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right, mate?
Well, very well, thanks. Happy about the weather anyway.
A lot better than it was. It was a shame, wasn't it? You can never guarantee the weather. Yeah, but I think we all understand, you know, it's a tough old game, the mountain right the way down to, you know, you can get fog, yeah, rain, everything, yeah. I just want to, I was listening to John's comments there before. Well, you know, I'm part of the Aerostain people.
Yeah.
We're actually waiting a lot of results from environmental groups about exactly that, actually. Up to now, the only people that we've found who say it's actually doing any good for nature in the sea is actually the wind turbine people themselves. All the manufacturers and fishermen are all saying it's doing exactly the opposite. For instance, there's an investigation going on at the moment to see whether the vibration that penetrates right the way down into the concrete bases is actually interfering with all the shellfish. They think it's actually driving them away rather than enticing them there. The other thing that people already know is that you put any structure whatsoever, whether it be a pier, a rig or anything, and what fish are around there will congregate around it. For instance, an old wreck and things like that. But one thing that is being investigated that isn't actually being pointed out yet, so I want to just put him on hold with his comments about it, how good it is. There is nothing going good for it. We're awaiting results of everything. For instance, the amount of fish that are there, it's actually, up to now, we do know that one shoal of mackerel actually diverted their usual route from Scotland right the way over to a different route that they usually take.
Do we hear anything? I mean, there are wind farms all around the coast of Britain. Do we hear anything much about this from other wind farms? I mean, the enormous ones. I mean, in the Irish Sea, the Walney Farm, all that stuff, and the stuff that's north of the Wirral as well. Do we know anything about fish around there?
Well, we do, yeah. I mean, that's why I'm saying it's a bit hasty to actually come to any results at the moment, because what I'm actually saying is that the majority of people who's living it is from the sea are all saying it has affected it. Nothing for definite. It needs to be in black and white. But these are all hearsay things at the moment. But the only person, like I say, who is saying it's not doing any harm is Ørsted itself. And we know how much, you know, pack of lies they tell.
Well, hang on.
They're trying to sell.
Well,
they're trying to sell things.
They're giving their own version of events. This is what they think. And quite rightly, they're in business to do that. You wouldn't expect them to do anything else.
Well, quite right. But what I'm actually coming on to say is we shouldn't be listening to comments that John made when there is no evidence at all yet. We should wait until all the research is done and then it will come out in black and white.
Right.
But as of now, it's not very good results. That's okay. All I'm saying.
All right. Well, that's his opinion, so we respect his opinion and yours
okay.
as well. All right, Eddie.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Well, this coming Thursday, it's the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow, and of course there's going to be a Manx team there, and our own Rob Pritchard will be there reporting live from Glasgow all the time. So 6 weeks this Thursday 23rd of July is the Commonwealth Games, and Beach Buddies are honoured to have been chosen to take possession of the King's Baton on its second day on the Isle of Man on Peel Beach this coming Sunday, the 14th. They'd love to see you there because afterwards...
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
After they've taken the baton around Peel Beach, they'll be doing a clean-up of Peel Beach. And if you're a Beach Buddies volunteer, they'd love to see you this coming Sunday. The event's going to be covered by TV, the radio and news media. The schedule is for the baton to arrive on the lifeboat at Peel Breakwater at noon on Sunday. It'll be carried around the beach by the Beach Buddies people and then carried to Peel Beach when afterwards there'll be a 30-minute beach cleaning session on Peel Beach by volunteers afterwards. So... this coming Sunday, the King's Baton will be on Peel Beach at noon and a Peel Beach cleaning session afterwards. And 6 weeks on Thursday, it's the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. And if you're training for that, I'm sure you know that already. Thanks to Michelle on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
WINT.